Like I said, Wednesday night we had a quiz. And the quiz went something like this. Does anybody remember anything that I said Sunday morning? We're going to make a list. There was no snickering. There was no candy wrapper rustling, rat rustling. There was just silence. And then finally Cindy goes, give us a hint. And I said, okay, Sunday morning I was talking. They still didn't get it.
But, did Christy ever come up with anything?
No, Christy showed up late and she still couldn't think of anything. But she could remember Wednesday night before and the Sunday night before that. She could go back in history, but Sunday morning was not there for her. But anyway, so the idea last week is God said that if we please Him, He hears and answers our prayer. And then it went on to say, learn about God. The reason we need to learn about God is if we know about Him, we please Him. If we please Him, He hears and then He answers our prayers. We want God to hear and answer our prayers. So some of the stuff that we did not remember Wednesday night was the first thing is you need to believe there's a God and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's faith. And He's pleased by our faith, because that's what it says. And He rewards those who seek Him. You believe in Him, you seek Him, you get reward. Another thing that was talking about, it's pleasing to God if you pray for all people with a special emphasis. But remember, all people with a special emphasis on governments, federal, state, local. Like Barb, she was so excited last week. She knew somebody's praying for her. And Gary, there's somebody else here that is on a board. Who was that? But anyway, so pray for the people who are local. Barb needs it, like I said. Barb needs the prayer a lot. So as we go through all this stuff, let's continue. We're here. The psalm that I read this morning said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." So we're going to learn a little bit more, and it's pleasing to God anytime we learn. So we're going to learn first to find this magnification, and then we're going to talk about it and hopefully learn more. And as we learn more, He will be pleased. We will be able to act our faith out according to what we're learned, what we're taught. And after we're taught, we can apply it, and more of our prayers will be answered. Magnify the Lord. We say that. Ministers say that. There's songs about it. But what does it mean? We cannot make God any bigger. So how can you magnify the Lord? Magnifying the Lord means to take a part of God, a part of the knowledge of God, and blow it up big so we can understand it better. So it's, in one way you could say, let's focus on the Lord. Let's focus on something about the Lord and enlarge it so we have a better understanding of what He is all about and what He talks to us about. Romans 8:32, and I'll just read it, cheat here. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for all of us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? There's something that's a magnification. A lot of people say, oh God, they treat Him like He's miserly, like He doesn't want to help us out, like He really doesn't care for us. And yet it says that He has grace and favor upon the people who believe and trust in Jesus Christ. We are children of His grace and His favor, but yet they act like He's miserly with everything. But it says right there in Romans, if He gave His Son, why would He deny us everything else? If He gave that child of His, the only begotten Son of God, who is just like God, who is very God of very God, and from the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, prostantheon, if you haven't heard that before, it just means in the beginning there was this being, whom we call Jesus, the Christ. He was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Prostantheon. It just means they were looking at each other. Right there. God the Father and God the Son was right there together at the very beginning, before time started. They always were. They were always together. And yet the Father said, I'm willing to let my Son go down and lay down His life. And if God the Father is willing to let His Son make that kind of a sacrifice, and we know what happened at the cross, He went through all of that. He said, how would He deny us anything, any good thing? Now, He's not going to give us bad things. Even Jesus said, if your child asks for a loaf of bread, He was talking to a crowd in general, if your child asks for a loaf of bread, will you give him a rock? If he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? You know, if he asks for this kind of stuff, would you give him something bad and then snicker about it? No, He says, and if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to His children? If God is willing to give His Son, He will give us all sorts of good things so that our lives may be good. So this is the magnification of the Lord. God is for us. Who can be against us? Magnifying the Lord. Here's another aspect of God we want to look at and see how awesome our God is. And this is an aspect of God that we talk about, but I want to focus on it in a slightly different way. It's the omnis of God. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is, what's the other one? Omnipotent. Omnipotent. Yeah. Omnipotent means God is all strong, complete. Like I've said, when He created the heavens and the earth, and He said, let there be light, let there be the worlds, let there be the universe, let all this come into existence, His power meter would not have went, and then recharged back up. It was just like, boom, there it was. He did not have a power fluctuation whatsoever. He is all-powerful, omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything about everything. He knows everything that could possibly have ever been. He knows all the variations of all the possibilities. He is also omnipresent. He's everywhere. Everywhere. This is the part I'd like to magnify on. So here we are learning about God. God is omnipresent and omniscient. That means that God, right now, is focused on Glenwood Church. He has complete knowledge of everything that's going on right here, right now in this church. Every person that's here, every person that's not here, He knows what we're actually thinking. He knows if we're actually grasping this. And He is totally focused on Glenwood Church. God is omnipresent and omniscient. Do you realize there is a country roughly halfway around the world called the United Kingdom? The United Kingdom has a capital named London. In the capital of London, there's a square called Trafalgar Square. In Trafalgar Square, there is this yellow tabby cat crossing the road on the northeast corner, and that cat has one little flea right behind its right ear. Okay, I made the cat story up, but that's to emphasize the point. God, right now, would be, if that cat does exist, over there walking across. He's totally aware of that one little flea that's behind that cat's ear. Just as much as He's aware of us in this church and me on a personal level, He is totally aware of that flea over there. He's not confused by it. So you're saying we're worse fleas? No, it's not a value thing. It's an awareness thing. Our God is absolutely, totally aware of everything that's going on in this world. All the little minutia things He's aware of, and at the same time, He's totally aware of us. If you want to say, well, prove that He values me more than He does the fleas. And, you know, I remember years ago hearing about a couple who said, we want everybody to know that we value all animal life. And if there was a monkey that was dying and our daughter chose to donate her heart to that monkey, we would sign the papers and let her give her life to save the life of that monkey, because that life or that monkey has value. Like, your child should be taken away from you because you're right on the verge of child abuse right there. I mean, the real stuff. And that's how much they valued human life was no greater than that of a monkey. Now, I like monkeys. Monkeys are funny and all interesting and all that stuff. But the proof that God likes us more places more value on us. He never came as a flea. He never came as a monkey. He never came as an animal and died for that flea. He never died for the monkeys. He never died for the eels or the leeches or the moles or any rats. He came as a human, and he values us, and he died for us. That is an omniscient, omnipresent, and totally awesome God. He died for us. He values us. And since he values us so much, what would he deny us? If it's good, what would he deny us? Magnifying the Lord, focusing on it, getting a better understanding. Let me read to you out of John chapter 16, verse 13. There's one little phrase in there I'd like to pick up on. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 13. No, let's go back. John 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you all what is to come. He will disclose to you what is to come. Okay, but now the phrase, he's saying that when the Holy Spirit gets here, because Jesus is getting ready to leave, and he says, when the Holy Spirit gets here, he will lead you into all truth, and he will teach you about everything that's going to happen. He's going to give you all your basic information about upcoming events. And like I said, we're going to be talking about those upcoming events based on Bible coming up in a few weeks on Sunday nights. But the phrase there, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he shall guide you into all truth. It's not just a truth limited to biblical knowledge or truth limited to the second coming stuff. He will guide you into all truth. And it doesn't matter what the subject is, whatever you're dealing with in your life. If you want to figure it out, you ask God and you say, Father, would you please lead me into understanding and dealing with this promise? The word guide in the Greek, I wish we all understood Greek, but I'm like you. I don't want to invest that many hours trying to study it all the time till I would understand it fluently. But that Greek word is rooted in the idea of taking a journey, taking a trip. So when it says that he will guide you into all truth, on any subject that you're really needing to know, he will guide you into it. He will take you on a journey. If you need to understand math and you said, I really need to understand math, he's not just going to give you the answer. He is going to take you on a journey and teach you step by step, not just the answer, but how to properly arrive at that answer. If you have other problems that you're dealing with, he will take you step by step through a process till you come to the answer. And not only will you have the answer, you will say, I understand how I got there. And the next time you're confronted with something similar, you'll be able to take the way he led you and apply it again and again and again and again. And to tell the truth, that's what all modern science is based upon. Most people don't realize this, but modern science, before it came along, Christianity really came along and became settled in the hearts of people, they were surprised every day that the sun come up in the east and set in the west. That's why, like the Aztecs and other people, when there was a total eclipse, they thought some big dragon came along and just chomp, 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 chomp and ate the sun, and it was all gone, and they had to do some human sacrifices in order to give the sun strength so that it would come back, and then the sun would come back out, and they'd go, yay, the sun's out. They did not have the concept of order. They did not have the concept of consistency. They thought everything could fall apart in a heartbeat if they did not perform certain superstitious rituals. Christians came along and started to say, we've got a God, and our God says, as long as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, I will love the children of Israel. It's always going to be that way, and he's always going to love us. He talked about all sorts of physical, geometrical, geological issues, and said, this is the way it is, and it's always going to be that way until the world comes to an end. And so he said, there must be certain rules and regulations, and we'll call them laws. And based on that, they started establishing modern science, and they came up with gravity. Water runs downhill. A lot of people didn't know that for sure. They finally came to the conclusion that the earth was round. There were things that were there, and it's because Christian men started following and God guided them along step by step till they understood everything that was going on in the world. And we can still keep doing that. We are magnifying the Lord because He is everywhere. He's all-knowing. He's totally focused on us no matter where we're at. So when we call upon Him, He will give us good things. And His Spirit will teach us. Therefore, it takes time. You just don't travel from A to Z like that. Only in Star Trek movies do you do that kind of stuff. But God will teach you how to get from A to Z with proper understanding. That's what He just taught us in that verse. Therefore, we magnify the Lord. We understand better. This is something He's going to do. It will take us some time to get there, but He will get us to the position where we will have the answer to the truth. We will know the truth of the answer, and we'll be able to apply that truth again and again and again. Therefore, we can trust God to instruct us in the ways of the truth. That's two things that we have magnified the Lord about. Here's something else I'd like to magnify the Lord about. You say, okay, He's taught us all about the natural laws of physics, the natural laws of mathematics and the theorems and the geometry and stuff like that and trigonometry. I can say the words. I can't figure those things out anymore. But He can lead us into all that. Yes, He can. Well, what about miracles? Miracles. Good question. Miracles. What is a miracle? Most people really don't understand the true meaning of the word miracle, theologically speaking. First, you've got to understand that there is the natural flow of events. This is the way it works. Water flows downhill. It pools at the lowest point. That's just the way it works. Those are the laws of God. Some people don't like that. They call it the laws of nature because they want to take away the magnificence of the God that we worship. But a miracle is an event that occurs that goes against the laws of nature. A real miracle is something that goes against the law of nature. When Moses came up to the Red Sea and he used his staff and he held it over the sea and that sea parted, a great wind blew in the sea and it says it piled up. Seas don't just go around piling up so that you can take a nice leisurely stroll through them. That goes against nature. That's a miracle. The sun, when Joshua was out there fighting and he needed some extra time, the sun stood still. That is a miracle. A real, honest-to-goodness miracle. Elisha is out with his buddies along a water front someplace. They're working away. The guy takes a swing. The axe head falls off, flips into the water, and he's like, "Oh, Elisha, I borrowed that axe head. I'm in so much trouble." Elisha says, "You tell me where it's at." He goes, "It's right over there is where it hit." He goes, "Okay." And he prays, and that axe head, iron, floats to the top. That is a real miracle. It floated to the top. It goes against nature. It came right on up. A hungry lion looked at Daniel and said, "I don't think so. I'm on a diet. I don't eat Daniels tonight. I might munch on somebody else that they throw in later, but right now Daniel is not on my diet." That is against the nature of a lion. Therefore, that would be considered a miracle. Now, we have a lot of things that are awesome that happens to us. And there are things that happens that are massive, you can say coincidences if you want to, that are massive. And those rate right in there because you can't have that massive of a coincidence happening. The Battle of Dunkirk, I think it's called. The Germans was on the French there at the English Channel. They had the English army pinned down on the shores of Dunkirk. And they were coming to kill them all. Now, if you read the book Reese Howe's Intercessor, you'll find out some spiritual stuff that went on. And Reese Howe and his friends got told by God, start praying for Dunkirk, start praying for those people. And they did. And about the time that they decided to launch a rescue and go across the English Channel from England, a big fog came in. Whoosh! So thick that they could not see the English people, the English soldiers. The fog came in and all these little boats, everything that had an engine that could get across that channel, which is like 23 miles wide, they all headed to Dunkirk. They loaded up all these soldiers. They all took them back across to England. And after they got them there, the fog lifts. That's against nature. That timing, that pea soup fog rolling in just as the boats was getting right there to pick up these guys, that is a miracle of God. Miracles always go against nature. It's not normal for that to happen. Let's talk about us. We humans have a nature. I'm not going to speak on y'all's behalf, but mine is, don't say it. I'll go with bent. I don't want to say completely fallen, trashed, laid low, totally corrupted. So, since my nature, they refer to it as nature of the flesh, low nature, or lower nature, all this kind of stuff. But since I have a nature, you know, it's a miracle. Anytime I do something that's against my lower nature, if I'm sitting there and God's going, "You're a glutton," and I'm looking at that piece of chocolate pie, and he goes, "You shouldn't eat that," and I'm going, "Mmm." See? But if I walk away from it, that's right there with miracle. You know what I'm getting at? Anytime there's something that we know is wrong and we choose not to do it because there's a God, that goes against nature. That is a miracle. That's probably one of the biggest miracles, because it would be easier to pile up water, because water does not have a free will. It would be easier to lift that iron and make it float, because the iron does not have free will. But when it comes to humans, God gave us free will. And so He says to us, don't do that. And we say, "Oh yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to eat that apple. I'm going to pick out whatever your favorite sin is. I'm going to do that anyway." So you can see that there is the miraculous stuff going on in our lives. Every time, because of God and His Spirit indwelling in us, we choose to go against our very lower nature. It's right up there with the miraculous. So what have we learned? We've learned that, one, if we seek God, He will reward us. By magnifying God, we're focusing in on aspects of God or attributes of God and paying real attention and enlarging it so we get a better understanding. Now that we have a better understanding, we understand that He will lead and guide us into all truth, whatever the subject. But in the Christian life, He will help us to walk a miraculous journey with Him, going against our lower nature, choosing to walk in the ways of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that rates right up there with all the other miracles, because I'm sure the angels are going, "Oh, look at Doyle, he's doing something against his lower nature. God, that's better than the Red Sea. Doyle don't usually choose these things, and there he is. There's a miracle." And I appreciate every miracle in my life and every time I've chosen to follow after God. And the first one, especially, where it comes along and says, if you trust in Christ, all your sins will be forgiven and He will give you eternal life. I chose to believe that, even though it was against my nature to do that. I chose to believe and trust in Christ, and He does not lie. Like I was telling the kids, it'll take a long time, I hope, a long time, and I'll have a long life here so I can appreciate that miraculous walk, that miraculous journey of life with Him. And He says that He will cause us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Right now, starting today, starting actually the time we accepted Christ, we can trust Him to give us good things, and part of that good things is the conforming to the way Jesus is. That is a miracle that we can experience. And it's probably considered one of the greater miracles that's recorded in the Bible. The Son came down and sacrificed Himself that we could have a wonderful life like He has. And as we trust in Him more and more, our life becomes better and better and better. If we seek Him, He will reward us. So, shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask You right now. We have sought You this morning. We have prayed to You. You are worthy of all things. You are most gracious. You are kind to us. We ask You to lead us into all truth, and we've asked You to lead us into all truth again. Once again, thank You for the truth that has been revealed through Your Word. And I ask, because of all this, You would bless us and reward us as we're seeking You. Help us to walk that miraculous journey in our life, and help us to have an improved life each and every day, overcoming even when we stumble, that You will give us the strength to get back up and keep right on going, because Jesus promised us that He would keep His promise and we would be with Him forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, thank You, praise You, and amen.